Welcome to the Security Dev Room. Next speaker is Dmitry Belyavsky. He's talking about OpenCell in RHEL, FIPS 140-3 certification.
Okay. Hello, do you hear me well? Yeah, looks like that. First, who am I? My name is Dmitry Belyavsky. I work in Red Hat as a senior software engineer. I also am OpenSSL committer since year 2019, and since year 2021, I am a member of OpenSSL technical committee. It's a group of people that manages the project, the OpenSSL project, from the technical point of view. My beloved pet project is also related to OpenSSL. It's a Russian Ghost Script implementation. Okay, let's go to the topic. First, what we shall speak in the first part is what's FIPS, what's FIPS certification, what are certified from FIPS, for FIPS in Red Hat, and the OpenSSL, brief introduction into OpenSSL 3.0 architecture changes. So, FIPS is a set of standards, American national standards, requiring which cryptography and in which limitations should be used. It consists of a series of documents. Some documents are available public, some should be bought in the NIST, some should be bought in the ISO. These documents are permanently updated, so you should consider the FIPS set of documents, well, as a code of laws. It is as consistent as code of laws. It leaves subspace for interpretation. Nobody knows it all, so there are always discussions how to interpret this or that point of the document, so on and so forth. FIPS certification process is done by some accredited labs that get the sources from some company that pretends that the code is certifiable. They do quite comprehensive tests. Some of them are public, some of them are not. Then they return back to us with notes like, you should fix this and that. Then we go to the next iteration. And at the end of the process, if we are lucky, we get the FIPS certificate. FIPS certificate is necessary for using system in many American government institutes, for many big customers, and again, it provides a very good recommendation from security points of view. So if you use FIPS certified software, it means that you are on the safe side from the security point of view. Current version of the standard is FIPS 140-3. We in Red Hat certify our distributions for FIPS for several versions. We usually certify our kernel and several crucial libraries, such as NSS, libgcrypt, GNU/TLS, and of course OpenSSL. We have a nice blog post explaining what we certified for RHEL.8, and the approach for RHEL.9 will be basically the same. It's still ongoing process. So sorry, it's always a problem how to properly add a link in the presentation. I believe that you can download the presentation from slide or just find the blog post by the title. The support of FIPS in OpenSSL has a long history. It has native support in 1.0 series of OpenSSL, which is currently long out of support. In 1.0 series, there was a set of invasive runtime checks. If we are in FIPS mode, then please do that. This algorithm is allowed, this is not, and so on and so forth. Upstream did not provide the native support in 1.1.1 series, but we in Red Hat expanded the original patches. So FIPS support in OpenSSL 1.1.1 series in RL8 was basically a set of patches for libcrypt and libssl with even more invasive runtime checks. In OpenSSL 3.0, the upstream decided that the model with invasive checks is badly maintainable, and they redesigned the architecture from scratch and created so-called provider models. All algorithms are implemented via separate plugins named provider. And one of these providers, the most important for our purpose, is the FIPS one that contains only FIPS compatible algorithms that build from the same sources with compile time checks. It's individual library. So we also certify only this library, not libcrypt, libssl as a whole. That also simplifies the process of applying some changes. And to be sure that you are FIPS compatible, you should follow. You should use only relevant API, and it caused a massive OpenSSL API deprecation in 3.0. So if you pretend that your application is FIPS compatible, please don't use deprecated API. Just if you are a software developer, just add the warning for using a deprecated API. So now let's talk about our patches. Upstream FIPS provider was designed to match previous version of the FIPS, FIPS 140-2, and we wanted to adjust it so it would match FIPS 140-3. Let's begin with the initialization of a library. Upstream approach implies that FIPS provider is loaded via configuration file, and the checksum, which is necessary to be checked to check for to be sure that provider is the same we want to use, is a part of this configuration file. This approach was found suboptimal for our purposes because we can detect that the system as a whole is in FIPS mode. So when we see that a Red Hat-based system is in a FIPS mode, we automatically load and activate the FIPS provider. We also get rid of external checksum. We embedded the checksum into the provider, and it significantly reduces the problem when this checksum is in a separate file or in a configuration file. It can be easily damaged or just forgotten to copy the file, and it causes unpredictable diagnostics. So when you have checksum embedded into the provider, everything is much simpler from a maintainability point of view. And also we removed several algorithms from the FIPS provider. I will speak about it some slides later. Well, what is the next change we implemented in our FIPS provider is indicators. Indicators is a new requirement of FIPS 140-3 standard. We have too many algorithms. They can be combined in too many ways, and not all of the combinations are approved. So we should use only approved combinations. First, there are two possible approaches. We call it implicit indicators and explicit indicators. The implicit indicators implies that if you perform a crypto operation and it succeeded, then you are on the safe side. Unfortunately, as I mentioned before, some combinations of permitted crypto algorithms, crypto primitives, are not permitted by FIPS as a whole. So we had to partially switch to explicit indicators. The approach with explicit indicators is you try a crypto operation. If you failed, assuming it was properly set up, then it wasn't approved. If it succeeded, then you probably, it's well documented, should check the indicator and see if it's permitted from the FIPS point of view. Well, this approach is better from several points of view. First, it covers the caveats when you have a legal combination. And second, in real life software, you can use FIPS non-approved crypto algorithms for non-cryptographical purposes. Such as MD5 as a fast enough hash sum of files. So application knows better what is the purpose of the algorithm usage sometimes. So we implemented some combination of explicit and implicit indicators. And some more implementation details. Well, we removed the AdWords curves from our provider. It was done because when we were tuning our provider, AdWords curves were not permitted for usage and FIPS, but the news of yesterday, the standard that allowed using AdWords curves, curve 25519 and curves curve AD 448, are permitted. So we probably will have to consider if we edit, if we switch these curves on, or we'll switch it in some upcoming versions, because there is much interest to these curves. We also removed support of RSA PKCS1 encryption in FIPS provider, which is potentially breaking changes, and we are aware of some our applications that have had to change the RSA encryption model from PKCS1 to OIP. And we removed triple DES support from FIPS provider. One more change we had to implement, also a requirement of new FIPS standard, is switching to non-answer tests for ECDSA signatures. ECDSA signatures require using a random number, so every new signature is has a different value if you properly implemented the algorithm. If you use the same random values for the signature, it means it means the attacker will be able to find out your private key. So it's dangerous. So we had to add a patch that allows in the test mode specifying a well-known, a hard-coded random value just for test purposes. We know that Upstream, in its upcoming version of the provider, used a different approach. They use the predictable pseudo-random number generator, and probably it's a better approach. We will think about it on some respin of our certification. Also, a new standard implies some more strict changes for k-derivation functions. It limits seeds. You should not use seeds shorter than 112 bits for most of the KDF functions. And also, it specifies some requirements to pseudo-random number generators, which were not implemented in the Upstream provider. So only SHA-2 functions are basically allowed for the hash-based random number generators, and our providers support these requirements. One more change worth mentioning is that according to FIPS 140-3 requirements, it's necessary to clean up memory not only after using private keys, but also for public keys. And there should be consistency checks for freshly generated public keys from private keys. And the last 2 points is about other patches in RHEL that are not related directly to FIPS. They're about overall hardening. We have implemented so-called crypto policies in RHEL 8. It's a way to ensure that all the crypto libraries and all the applications using these crypto libraries are consistent from the point of view of algorithms that are permitted to use. Also, as a FIPS 140-3 standard requires formally allows using SHA-1 for signatures, we removed the support of it in our FIPS provider because of you can't really rely on security properties of SHA-1. And it may cause problems to application developers, and some application developers has already complained about it. But please don't use SHA-1 for signatures. It's just insecure. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Feel free to ask questions about the details.
Test. Hey, so you said you're using the provider API for the FIPS stuff. Now, what I was wondering, not all of the OpenSSL API gets routed through the provider, right? So what are you doing about packages like SSH that are using old API? Those don't work with FIPS, right?
Well, yes, not all the applications use the new API. I correctly understand your question, yeah?
Well, my question is, to use that, I need to use the new EVP underscore API, right?
Well, yes, you need to use EVP underscore API, but I don't think you should call it new because it exists for more than 10 years.
That's right, but there's like OpenSSH does not use that.
Yes, it's my pain as a maintainer of OpenSSH. We are writing OpenSSH downstream to use the new API to make it FIPS compatible.
Oh yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
In which of your Red Hat distribution are you supporting this? And I guess you don't have backwards compatibility with older applications for OpenSSL. It only works with FIPS compliant applications, right?
Sorry, again.
Yeah. Which of your Red Hat distribution supports the FIPS standard, one. And two, how do you do with backwards compatibility? Because I guess applications that are not FIPS compliant won't run with your OpenSSL API.
So I'm talking now about RHEL 9 series, but we have certificates for RHEL 8 series for a previous version of the standard. It's for about the application that use old API. Well, as I mentioned before, it's a common approach to provide the downstream patches and push these patches upstream to make this to make the application use the new API. It's the only possible way. Well, I participated in pushing libfido2, for example. We have downstream patches for OpenSSH, but it also should be LibreSSL compatible, and it adds problem. But the general approach is implement a downstream patch and push it upstream.
Okay, any other questions? Hands up, no one?
Okay, thank you very much. Feel free to contact me directly.